This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to a brand new episode of Tea with Janae. I'm your host, Janae Kirshner of Janae Kirshner Photography and the creator of Submission Support, our monthly membership to help you curate and submit your next wedding. Tea with Janae is where we give real advice, tangible tips, and thoughtful insight about what it's really like to be a wedding photographer. I'm so excited about today's episode. I'm chatting with Brianna Parks about how SEO can help you break free from the social media grind. Brianna shares how, as a new photographer, she learned the power of SEO and was able to generate over 450 new inquiries via Google alone. Yep, you heard that right. A little bit about Brianna before we get started is that she is a Pacific Northwest elopement photographer who captures elopements in Northern California and Olympic National Park. She's passionate about SEO and can't wait to share what she learned and taught herself with you today. So let's get excited. Let's grab a cup of tea and enjoy the show. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. I'm so excited you guys are here. I have a wonderful guest on the line today. Brianna, can you say hi to everyone?
Hello.
Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited to get into everything.
Yeah, me too. I'm so excited. Thanks so much for asking to come on. I got your email and I was like, oh, this sounds really cool. And it sounds like you've got a really good story to share. And today we're going to be talking about how SEO allows you to break free from the social media grind, which we all want. Right? Get me off of Instagram, please. So I'm excited to jump in. Where are you located?
I actually am based in Northern California in a town called Redding. It's about 2.5 hours north of Sacramento.
Yeah, that's awesome up there. Oh, that's great. Are you from California? Is that where you born?
No, I'm originally from Idaho, but we moved here when I was 10. And so I kind of grew up in California. I just like to say I'm from California because it sounds cooler to me. But yeah, I love it.
Oh, that's so great. That's awesome. Well, before we get started and jump in and start asking you all these questions, let's introduce you to our audience. Can you please tell everybody a little bit about you, your company, and how you got started?
Yeah, of course. So I started my photography business back in 2018, 2019. And at the time, my husband and I were in college. We had just gotten married. We were super young. I was only 19 when I got married. I like to tell people I was a child bride. And at the time, I was a pre-med major, and I really had big aspirations to go into medical school. But I quickly realized it was not for me. And I was just completely burnt out with school and I needed a creative outlet. And so one day I was on YouTube and I was just kind of scrolling through my feed and I ended up stumbling across this video of a girl who was taking portraits. And so I watched it and I was just kind of hooked. I thought it was such a cool thing to do. And so I convinced my husband to take me down to Target and we spent probably what was half of the money in our bank account on a starter DSLR camera. And I just started shooting portraits for free. And then I eventually got my first wedding inquiry. I think they paid me $300 for a wedding. And I felt like I was making so much money at the time. And it just kind of started from there and snowballed into what it is today.
That's awesome. And what is it today?
It is a very thriving business. Thank goodness. It's my full-time job. And now I don't shoot weddings. I just shoot elopements.
That's awesome. And you specialize in elopements and you really refined how you are found for elopements, right?
Correct. Yes.
I love that. I love that. So let's jump in. Let's get started. You know, I always like to think that the people who are listening are our wonderful audience. You know, some of them are new here. Some of them are just starting out. So let's break down what SEO is. What does that stand for?
Yes. So SEO stands for search engine optimization, and it basically means how can I get on the first page of Google? So when people Google something, you want to be the first result so they can find you.
Yeah. And it's hard to be the first result, right? Because there's so many. There's so many pages. There's so many photographers. You know, how does that affect your website?
So in terms of me personally, SEO has been an absolute game changer for my business. I love talking about SEO because it really allows photographers to position themselves as an authority in the business. And so, for example, let's say a couple really wants to get married in Acadia National Park in Maine. What is a couple looking for when they type in Acadia National Park elopement? What's kind of their motivation behind that term? Are they wanting to see pictures from Acadia National Park? Are they wanting to know how to get to Acadia National Park, maybe the best spots to elope in Acadia National Park? And so by being good at SEO, not only are couples going to find you, but couples are going to stumble across your website and really think, oh my goodness, look at this photographer. She is an expert in this field. There's nobody else I would rather reach out to because she knows this area like the back of her hand. And that's how you kind of get clients.
Right, right. Yeah. And I guess my first thinking as we're talking is like, wait, so you started 2018, 2019, you went to Target and got this DSLR.
Yes.
I mean, did you know anything about SEO or is this all self-taught?
Oh no, it was completely self-taught. I didn't know what SEO meant for a really long time. And I would see on Facebook, people would say, okay, I'm not getting any inquiries. How can I get more inquiries? And people would comment, learn SEO. And I tried to learn SEO and I mean, everything just felt like learning a foreign language. The terms would just fly over my head. I had no idea what anyone was talking about. And so one day I really just sat down and was like, okay, I need to figure out how to do this because I'm so tired of being on Instagram every single day of my life. And I can't do this anymore. So I need to figure out how I can get inquiries without being on social media. Right. And I really kind of turned to YouTube at first, which I highly recommend. There's a ton of free resources on YouTube. And then I eventually got into courses and just really started to learn and digest. I would take, you know, one day out of my week to just really dedicate everything I had to SEO and learning SEO. And then kind of, like I said, it just kind of snowballed from there. So that's awesome. Kind of how I got started.
Yeah. And then my question is like, how long after you started implementing this, did you start seeing your results? Because your results are pretty insane. Like,
yeah,
I'd love for you to share about your experience how by learning and using SEO, you received over 400, you wrote this, 467 inquiries from Google alone. And you didn't have, and that's just from Google, not from Pinterest, not from Instagram, like directly from being searched. I just want you to share about that because it's like mind-blowing to me. I think people would be like, what? You know, like, oh my gosh. And that's what caught my attention about your pitch. I was like, wait, this girl got 500 inquiries from Google? Like, how is that possible? So yeah, let's jump in. Let's dive into that. Let's talk about that.
Yeah. So it comes as a shock to me too, because I feel like I don't really notice it until the end of the year when I go back and look at all of my stats and I'm just like, oh my goodness. So for me personally, it took about, I would say maybe a year, maybe even 2 years to start seeing results. I like to say SEO is a marathon. It's not a sprint. And so sometimes you might see inquiries from places like Instagram where you post and you might get, you know, a new follower or someone coming into your DMs. Whereas Google, it really takes a while for you to kind of build up your website and all of your resources. So for me, I really started with, okay, where are some places I really want to shoot at? I'm going to write guides for those. So I wrote a guide on Iceland because I really wanted to shoot in Iceland. And like I said, at the time I was living in Idaho. And so I knew I eventually wanted to make my way back to Northern California. And so I just started writing a ton of guides about Northern California. So best places to elope in Northern California, how to elope in Northern California, Northern California elopement guide. So all of these different resources. And they kind of just compounded on each other. Again, I wanted to photograph in places like Oregon. So I wrote an Oregon elopement guide. And I would really just sit down at least once a month and just kind of write out a full guide and publish it to my website. And it would probably take a few months minimum for it to start ranking on Google. Mm-hmm. And the longer my work was up there and the longer my domain was active, which basically just means my website handle, how long have I had my website handle for, then Google started eventually pushing my content up to the top. I would say the big key point to make with SEO is searcher intent. So just really making sure that you're nailing what your consumer is looking for. So if someone is looking up the term, I don't know, let's say there's a wedding venue called Brick House in Utah. Let's say someone's looking up Brick House Wedding Venue, Utah. They're probably not looking for how to get married in the wedding venue. They're probably looking for pictures that were taken in that wedding venue. And so if you have pictures or a gallery that you photographed, write a blog post about it and just talk about the day. Obviously insert as many pictures as you can. And that's another great way for couples to find you. I think a lot of photographers have a lot of pictures they just don't know what to do with. And I know at least when I was starting out, I was told you need to blog, you know, at least once a week, blog once a week. And that is just not the case. You can blog as often or as little as you want. And as long as you are writing high quality content that has searcher intent in mind, you're going to go a long ways.
I love that. I love searcher intent. I think that's a really key phrase that people should latch onto, because it's like, where are people searching? Where do you want to work? And, you know, how do you sort of make that content from the backwards, right? Starting from the end result to the beginning. Like, what's exactly your end result? And then how do you make that content from the beginning? So someone who's searching, you know, what are they looking for? I guess, you know, when you started this tactic, so when did you start, like 2018 or 2019? When did you begin your SEO journey? Was it right away or like a year after you started?
It was probably a year. I would say at the end of 2019.
Okay.
Maybe even beginning of 2020.
Got it. And then you really dove into it and learned all about it. And I feel like SEO and websites, it is a foreign language. Like it's it's so hard.
100%. And two, I think we already have so much on our plates as photographers. Learning SEO can be such a time-consuming task.
Right.
And so I like to say, if people are very interested in getting into SEO, to take it slow. Don't be hard on yourself. Don't feel like you need to push out all of this content right away. Just really take even one day a month to just sit down and kind of learn what you need to know about SEO. I think so many photographers are just, they have this really big scarcity mindset of, I need to learn everything right now. I need to get all my inquiries right now. When realistically, it takes time. And like I said before, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. It took me a really long time to get to where I'm at now. And it can seem overwhelming, but I promise it's very easy to digest if you take it in little bite-sized pieces.
Yeah, I think that's really, really smart. So let's talk about how to start, right? So people listening are like, oh my God, I want this. I need this for myself. Where should we start?
Yes. So I recommend YouTube. I love YouTube.
Because me too. I watch YouTube every day. I'm like,
oh, me too.
I love it.
Me too. There are so many free resources on YouTube and people that really know what they're talking about, that really go in depth. I was even looking the other day just because I was curious, and there are a few SEO experts on YouTube who have full-blown 2024 SEO guides that are, you know, an hour and a half long that you can just sit down and watch in little sections. And so I highly recommend YouTube. If you're kind of familiar with SEO, kind of not, I highly recommend checking out Catalina Jean's SEO is Fun course. That was a course that really kind of kickstarted my love for SEO and got me into SEO. And then if you're kind of just like, okay, I want to go all in, I want to dive in head first, I really recommend checking out Fuel Your Photos SEO course by Corey Potter and Dylan Howell. Amazing people, great at SEO, and they have a full-blown SEO for photographers group that you can join on Facebook. That's completely free as well.
Oh, that's awesome. That's so great. Oh, that's good. So we're joining the courses, we're doing the Facebook groups. How do we start sort of dissecting what we need to do first? Like SEO, like what it's obviously, and this is also, I've talked about this before, like the power of blogging and making sure you stay up to date with that stuff is still important, right? Because you need to tell Google you're still here, you're still alive, you're still doing stuff, because even though you have content that maybe is a couple of years old, it still wants to see new stuff. And even if you update it, it likes that as well. So have you experienced that?
Yes. So I have There are some guides that I've written a really long time ago that still get really good traction. And then there are some guides I've written that have just kind of fallen off a little bit. And that's natural just because you have new photographers coming up, new competition in the market. And so for the places that I really want to shoot at the most, I make sure I go in and update that content at least once a year to really sit down and kind of do a whole refresh of the article and just include all of my updated knowledge. I would say if you're wanting to get started in SEO, but you don't necessarily want to write a whole blog post, I would just start with your homepage. So for example, your location. So let's say I want to photograph weddings in Sacramento. I would optimize my homepage to be Sacramento wedding photographer. That's a great place to start. So when people are searching Sacramento wedding photographer, you can be the first one on Google. And that's a great thing too, is if people are searching for that term Sacramento wedding photographer, they know they want a photographer. And so they're kind of in the I'm ready to buy stage. And so mm-hmm. if you kind of optimize your homepage for that, then you're probably going to have a high success rate if you're number one on the page.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say your homepage is a great, great place to start.
Yeah, I love that. And then what about, you know, after that, like you've optimized that, you put your keywords in, are you using alt text? Like what are some tips and tricks in there that people can do for themselves?
Yeah. So for the homepage specifically, being sure that your title is optimized, that you have good headings. I would say too, making sure you're not keyword stuffing. So don't just put Sacramento wedding photographer in every single sentence. That's not good. Google doesn't like that. They want it to be very natural and not, you know, spammy for the user. I would also make sure you have a good meta description and, also making sure that your images are properly sized and titled and have good alt text as well. And then of course, if you kind of want to get more into the actual blogging space, I would sit down and just kind of make a list of the top places you want to photograph at. So for example, one of my top places I wanted to go was Iceland a few years ago. And so I wrote an entire guide. I basically just sit down and pull out a Google sheet or a pen and paper and just write down, okay, what is someone looking for when they Google the term Iceland elopement? So they're probably looking for the best places to elope in Iceland, maybe the best time of year to elope in Iceland. They definitely want to see Iceland elopement pictures and all of this useful information. So then you can go in and write a whole guide about eloping in Iceland and you kind of just go down your list from there. So I usually just recommend maybe picking three places that you really want to photograph at the absolute most and just writing guides on those.
I love that. Yeah. And how long is a guide? Like what would be a good length? Does it matter? Do you need a certain amount of words in there? Images?
A lot of people say you need at least 300 words. To be completely honest, I'm not entirely sure how accurate that is, if that's a myth or if that's factual. Obviously, length is a little bit of a ranking factor when it comes to Google. And so the more information, the longer your guide is, the better chances you are you have to rank. So for me, a lot of my guides are around the 3,000 word mark. But there's definitely people I've seen rank higher than me that have less or that have more. So it just really depends on how useful the information is as opposed to an actual word count.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, it's kind of like whatever Google says is good for you.
Yeah,
right?
And it's hard. Yeah, it's hard too because Google is, I mean, you can never know. You can never know if your guide is going to rank because it's really up to Google at that point. And so it's kind of out of your hands. And I think that can be really frustrating for a lot of people is that, again, it takes time. Google is not just going to take your article and rank it number one, you know, if it's been up there for a month. So just be patient.
Exactly. So what can you just share like your experience with growing your business and getting off of social media because of SEO?
Oh my goodness. It has been absolutely life-changing. I only really go on Instagram during inquiry season. So I'm usually on Instagram from about November to March. And then I barely even open the app between then. And I mainly just go on there to just post my new updated content and show people that I'm still, you know, semi-active. I'll post a story every once in a while, but it has just been, it's such a freeing feeling to know that I don't have to go on Instagram every day and that my business is not going to fall and crash.
Right.
And so I really just try to focus all my marketing efforts on SEO. Granted, I am trying to get a little bit more into social media this year because I am a firm believer in not putting all of your eggs in one basket.
Mm-hmm.
But It has been amazing. I can't even describe the feeling of not feeling like I have to be on Instagram all day, every day, commenting, interacting, posting, being in people's DMs to hopefully get an inquiry once a week, once a month.
Right. Yeah, I love that. And it's also, you know, you're putting effort into something that is becoming effortless, you know, like a second nature. Yes. Like if you've set up one day a month, you know, you have your SEO day and you're going to do all your stuff. And then it takes the pressure off and you know that Google's working in the back of your, you know, in the background so that you can shoot more, you can do other things, you can concentrate on marketing or concentrate on other things and not be on that social media grind.
Exactly. And I think too, at least for me, when I was on social media, I would just get so burnt out and just, I would compare myself so bad to other photographers and just put my work down. And I feel like my work suffered because I felt like my brain was constantly on 24/7.
Yeah.
And so I think too, photographers, when they get off of Instagram, they see, okay, there's a much bigger world out there than just this little small niche of wedding photography. And if I keep my head down and, you know, pay attention to my own business and how I'm growing, I'm not so burnt out all the time. I'm not worrying about what this photographer is doing over here or how this photographer got this client and I got this client, you know? So
yeah,
it's amazing.
I love that. And I love that you're keeping, and people listening, you know, keeping your own blinders on and not getting in that comparison game is really important, you know, and yeah, keeping yourself fresh and keeping yourself motivated and also happy. I feel like for myself, late last year in 2023, I went through my Instagram and literally removed a couple hundred people and muted other people that were making me feel bad about myself, because social media is hard. It's like, it's hard on your self-esteem if you're going through stuff. You know what I mean? Like everyone yeah. shares their best moments. They're not sharing their worst moments and it's their highlight reel. So I really like that. And I really admire your effort to just focus in SEO in a way to really just bring those leads to you and really just keep your wedding photography, elopement business, like going and not worrying about what so-and-so is doing. I think that's really smart.
Yeah, it is. And I always say too, the mute button on Instagram is my best friend.
Yeah.
I use that for everything.
Yeah, it's really helpful. I feel like people forget about it. I'm like, oh my gosh, I just mute that person because I can't take it. You know, if they're always, I don't know, so comparison is a thief of joy, right? Like I don't travel like all over the place and I see other people, I'm like, oh, I wish it was me. But honestly, I don't, but it makes me feel bad. So I just have to like do all this stuff.
Yeah, it's so weird because I see all of these photographers who travel everywhere and I always get this FOMO, even though I've done it before and I know I don't like it. Yeah, I don't like traveling exactly. for work. So I don't know why I get this FOMO. But
that's so funny.
I also think too, like learning SEO, it makes Instagram fun again in a way because you're not relying on it for leads anymore. And so it's really, I mean, at least for me, it's a place, it's just kind of a creative outlet for me to share my work and to just
not care about likes.
Yeah, exactly. Have this mini portfolio, not care about likes, not care if I get inquiries from Instagram. So it's just, like I said, it's amazing. I don't even know what other word to use. It's fantastic.
Yeah, no, I love it. I hope this is inspiring to other people. Like, you know, people, I know other educators out there are like, blogging is dead, SEO is dead, doesn't matter, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I'm here to, you know, I totally disagree. I think it's very important. And I have shared before that like I have let my blog go and then finally had time to sit down and like blog like 20 new things. And I was like, okay, this feels really good. Like I'm putting all that new Google juice out there to attract these clients because that's what I want. And I feel like if other people aren't doing it, you have the opportunity to rank higher, right? Like if all the photographers are not blogging and you are, you're going to show up, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that's like a really good marketing plan. In my opinion, of course. So yes, let's talk about mistakes, right? And not wasting time and really being strategic about what we're doing. So what mistakes should we avoid? And is there anything a mistake that you've made that you've learned from?
Yeah. So I would say before you even start writing a blog post to first have an outline and to first make sure you know what you're doing. So I think The biggest mistake I see when it comes to SEO and something I have definitely done in the past is keyword cannibalization, which basically means you're using the same keyword for everything. So for example, let me think of a good one I could use. Let's say I have a few sessions that I photographed in Acadia National Park. So let's say I really want to photograph an elopement in Acadia National Park. I kind of want to specialize in the area. Basically, what I'm going to do is I'm going to write a blog post all about how to elope in Acadia National Park. I'm going to include pictures. I'm going to include the best places to elope, best time of year to elope, all of that fun stuff. Great. I have a perfectly optimized, beautiful blog post. And then let's say I have three sessions, three elopements that I photographed in Acadia National Park. Well, you don't want to really blog those sessions because it's going to compete with the keyword. So if you already have a blog post about Acadia National Park elopements, you don't want to blog an Acadia National Park elopement that you photographed. Does that make sense?
A little bit. Yeah. Explain why.
So basically, keyword cannibalization basically means you have the same keyword and it's competing with each other. So if you publish, let's say you publish three blog posts of elopements that you photographed in Acadia National Park, and then you have a guide all about how to elope in Acadia National Park. Google is going to see all of those blog posts and be like, wait, these are all competing with each other. I don't know which one to rank. I'm probably just not going to rank any of them because this is spammy. I don't know what resource is best for my searchers. So basically what I like to do is I usually write a guide. So again, it really depends on searcher intent. So if people are looking up Acadia National Park elopement, they're probably looking for pictures and information on how to elope. So you can kind of combine those, write a guide, include a ton of pictures in there. And then if I have those three elopements that I photographed in Acadia National Park, maybe one of them was taken at Scudic Point, which is a really popular location. I think it is. I'm not super familiar with Acadia, but
I don't even know where. I'm like, sure. Yeah, that sounds great.
So let's say one of those blogs or one of those elopements was photographed at Scudic Point. Well, maybe you can write like a Scudic Point elopement just story, you know, how the day went. Tips for getting married at Scudic Point, any insider information you might have about the location. So you could take that blog post and completely target a different keyword, but it's still in Acadia National Park. And then let's say your other two elopements, they weren't really taken at any specific places. You can still blog those, but you want to no-index those, which basically means they're not going to be picked up by Google, but your clients, if they go to your website, will be able to see them. I know it's a little bit confusing. So like I said, I really recommend checking out places like YouTube where you can kind of get a lot of more free information and kind of understand it better. But
yeah,
that's the best way I can break it down without kind of showing you.
Yeah. No, I think it makes more sense now. You have your guide, which has like everything that anyone would be searching for inside that guide. And the length can be as big or as small as you want. And then you're sharing separate blog posts from different areas of, let's say, that park, or maybe New York City for me, or people on the East Coast. And then you're like sub doing it, right? You're like sub listing it or somehow, like, so it doesn't compete with the guide.
Yes, correct.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. Yeah. Makes kind of sense. But I feel like looking at a course or watching YouTube or figuring out, mentioning those ones that you did before, it's going to be helpful for people listening who are like, okay, now I'm lost. But yeah, you can figure it out. You can get it.
Yeah. I would also say again, like, at least this was what I was hearing when I kind of first started in SEO. But like I said, you're probably going to hear from educators that you need to blog every single week, blog once a week. You have to. And you do not. You can blog once a month, twice a year. Like, it really is just up to you and what your schedule allows. And so, like I said before, we already have so much on our plates. And so don't feel the need to just head dive into SEO right away and pump out new guides every single week, because it gets exhausting after a while. And so, like I said, I recommend sitting down once a month and just kind of planning out your content or what you're going to write, and just kind of take it on a month to month basis. If you have more time, by all means, definitely go in there and write more. You don't have to space out your blog posts. You can publish them back to back to back. Google doesn't penalize you or do anything for you publishing as many guides as one at once. So it's just really up to what works with you and your schedule.
No, I love that. That's a good tip. Yeah, I work best with like blocking out days and getting everything done at once and then forgetting about it, because I can't be bothered.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah. I love that. Oh, this has been so helpful. So I guess, you know, before we end the show and wrap things up, what would be sort of your biggest takeaway or your biggest lesson learned? Like how can we help people with today's episode? Like what should they do first? And don't be discouraged if it takes a while, right?
Yeah, I would say my biggest tip would to be not to be discouraged because it does take a while. Like I said, it's a marathon, it's not a sprint. And so I would probably, if you just want to get started, like just start. It can seem super intimidating and daunting, and the terms are going to sound so technical, and it's probably going to sound like you're learning a foreign language. At least it did for me. And so just really take it step by step. And honestly, if you need to, take out a pen and paper and take notes, because
yeah,
you probably hear a lot of the same terms and words used. And so if you just kind of write a little bit of a definition, it's going to help a ton. So I would start probably with YouTube is where I would go to first. And then if you're kind of interested or wanting to do more with SEO, then I would then purchase a course. But as, like I said, YouTube has a ton of free topics, and I think it's such an underutilized resource for photographers wanting to learn SEO.
Totally. And I also think finding the right teacher is key.
Yeah.
Right? Because yeah. I mean, we know as a wedding photographer or a photographer, I mean, there are people that are so technical and so like in the nitty of the gritty of the details that they can like just take the joy out of learning about photography and suck the life out of you. And then you find the right educator that you mesh well with, and it's like a joy to learn, and they're so energetic, and they're just so like, they just break things down so simply that you get, I mean, when I started learning photography, when I started in 2010, digital photography, I was doing film before that. It's like someone said something and I was like, that's what it is. And it was like this light bulb moment and this whole new thing opened up for me. And I was like, oh my God, you know, so it's all about the teacher. So if you go on YouTube and you don't like the first person, go to the next video. You know, the algorithm will start to know what you're watching and start suggesting people. And hopefully you find the right educator there. And Brianna, I mean, can people reach out to you? Can you help them? Like, you know, I'm sure we're going to get a couple of emails or questions about this. What do you offer any help with this?
Yeah, of course. So I don't have any official help on my website right now. I'm kind of working on it. I'm hoping to kickstart something by April, May timeframe. So I can definitely keep you posted on that. But I would just recommend in the meantime to follow my Instagram, because I will be posting something about that in the future. So if you're kind of interested in learning more about SEO or getting an SEO audit from me, I would be more than happy to help.
Oh yeah, that's awesome. Cool. So your website, just tell people where they can find you.
Yeah, of course. So you can find me on my website at briannaparksphoto.com. And then you can find me on all social media platforms, Instagram, Facebook, Pinterest, and TikTok at Brianna Parks Photography.
Awesome. Cool. Yeah. So all that information will be in the show notes, and you guys can swipe up now, click on the links and let Brianna know you listened to today's episode. And yeah, once you launch whatever you're launching, we'll update the show notes and put that in there for our audience as well. But thank you so much. I feel like so inspiring to hear like from a real person who has had real success and who, you know, books, I mean, do you book all your weddings from Google? Like, I guess that's my last question is like, what percentage of your clients come from Google? What's the percentage?
Yeah, I would say probably 95%. I get, you know, every once in a while I get someone from Pinterest or Instagram, but like I said, I'm trying to diversify my marketing a little bit this year. And so I'm hoping to get, you know, maybe 75% from Google and 25% from other platforms.
But that's amazing. I mean, that's so insane. That's so great. I mean, I feel like, I know I shouldn't have wrapped up the show so early because I still want to talk, but I feel like,
oh no, you're good.
No, like the having 95% of people come through Google is just insane to me, because I know so many people rely on Instagram. And even though that these services are not our own, and I always recommend having a newsletter and like having a list, because, you know, Google can go down and Instagram goes down every so often. Like, it's so nice to know that you've got a really good portfolio or a good path for people to find you and hire you and work with you. I think that's so important in today's day and age, and not being tied to one place is really helpful. So thanks so much for sharing.
Of course. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. I really appreciate it. Well, thank you again. Thanks so much for being here. just, you know, all the information's in the show notes. You can find out more about Brianna and see her work and reach out to her if you're interested to get, I guess, maybe we're going to create your wait list right now for whatever product she's coming out with and get an audit. So thank you again for being here and hope to have you come back real soon.
Of course. Thank you so much. This was super fun.
Well, that's it, you guys. I hope you liked today's episode. Thank you to Brianna for being our wonderful guest today. If you guys want to find out more about her and her services, swipe on up, click on the show notes, and let her know you listened to today's episode. All right. I can't wait to share our next cup of tea together. Bye, everyone.